All right, we are plugged in for Wednesday, 12th of June, 2024, for the Kraz Files podcast with Adam and author and researcher John Hamer. He is plugging in with me on the podcast tonight for a chat, our usual chats as we move forward. John has been joining me on this podcast for many years now. Talking about all his work and books and studies and research and ideas and everything. And we pretty much tracked all world events and things as we have moved forward through the years. We try to keep our finger on the pulse here and look at what I think is very, very strongly an Agenda 2030 sort of system that is being pushed through. The bricks are being put in the wall around us as we are being, chronically distracted. And always, it really is the art of distraction that we are being, as human beings, we are being constantly distracted away from what is really going on. And we're not paying enough attention to this. So we do try to look at this system around us as it gets built, because awareness is truly the key, and awareness will save your life as well. We talk a lot about that with John. If we weren't aware, we'd have jabs in our arms and masks on our faces. Awareness can potentially save your life if you're aware of the system and what it's trying to do to you. It'll keep you ahead of the game. So we try to do that as well and sort of build our podcasts around John's great books. And we've looked at really most of them, I think. We've done a lot of sort of talking around behind the curtain sort of book and sort of touched on it. We did a great podcast on John's JFK book, A Very British Coup. And we also talked about the Titanic right up to the falsification of history and science, which was just absolutely huge. And right up also with Shannon Rowan and John Hamer's great book, Welcome to the Masquerade. Prelude to the Coming Reset, that was a massive book that John and Shannon wrote and co-wrote together, and did that. I'd say, looking at it, I'm not sure, but probably, falsification of history. The falsification of science was huge for John, I think, because and we did a podcast for that when it came out to discuss it and talk about that book. But it really encapsulates everything that we're seeing today, because, science, and we've discussed it on the podcast, it's when you start to look at this and what it really is, it's very, very important, and it starts to peel away in front of your eyes. And all this stuff that they're doing is really a remarkable book, and somebody had to do something like this, and John Hamer did it. The falsification of science, our distorted reality. We were waiting for a book like this, and that's why I think John will tell us when he comes on. That's why I think it's so, such a huge book and been so popular. And I think it's going to be popular many years moving forward, because science and the medical system and Big Pharma and their drugs and their COVID shots and their vaccines and the doctors and the hospitals and the whole system, it is like a cult. And, and it's all based on this science, but it's distorted, and John's books give us another look into this realm as to what really could be going on here. So very interesting. And so, we've been breaking down those books for ages now and talking about them. And so it's always good to continue forward with John. He'll give us a little bit of a rundown on the latest books and all of that. I always do say, please get over to krazfiles.com. That's my website. Been going since 2015. And you type in John Hamer there, and that's H-A-M-E-R and J-O-H-N, and you'll see all the podcasts we've done through the years all up there and protected on the Kraz Files website over the years. You can play them all there, and they're all out on the RSS feed some over on BitChute and these channels, but you'll also get access to all the information, how to get John's books, Kindle books, where to order them, contact John's, you know, great websites, falsification of history, these, and all of that, how to get signed copies of the book. I copy it all in there and paste it all in when we complete our podcasts, and they go out there for people to have a look at. So important you get over to the website and have a look at that and share that and contact us here anytime. We've been doing some changes just recently on the Kraz Files website, shifting some things around, so all going very well, and made some good changes there recently. Click on one of the banners if you would like to support. That's the only way to do it. There are no pop-ups, ads. I don't sell anything, nothing. I do it myself. So if you want to keep this kind of real independent media going, then you can go over to Buy Me a Coffee. That will take you there from the website. And have a look and contact me if you have any questions. But I'm always podcasting over there for the members, doing sort of like a nightly wrap-up over there of everything that I'm seeing almost every day that I'm on, and breaking it down and taking a look at it and just giving my two cents on that. So membership or some way to support, like John, you know, he sells his books and that's a living, and we talk here and I do this. It's a living. The website only exists because of our members. So thanks to those guys and all the listeners out there through the years, jumping on and following and everything. It's been a pretty crazy ride. And it's always good. John was just telling me before we came on, he's doing many more interviews and much more interest coming in about the books and his research and everything. So we're reaching out as more people come on board. It's a pretty exciting time to be alive, John. Indeed. So always good to have you on, buddy, to break down, you know, all the latest. We'll look at a few specific sort of things tonight, I think. Not too much within the hour. We don't even really have that, about the hour, a bit less. Bit late tonight, connecting as usual, and couldn't get you on a couple of other nights because of just issues trying to connect with Skype and everything. It ain't easy, but we do what we can. How are you going, John, over in your neck of the woods, over in the UK?
Hi, Adam. Yeah, thanks for having me back on again. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, mate. Yeah, it's all good. We were just talking a little bit offline there about the weather situation, weren't we? The weather here is appalling in the UK. It's the middle of summer and it's 11 degrees today, and it's like midday, just gone midday here, and it's 11 degrees, and there's no sign of any letter in it. But apart from that, you know, everything's, you know, pretty much as usual. Everything's plodding along nicely. I'm just beginning to wonder now, it's been a while since COVID, what the next thing they've got up their sleeves for us is going to be. But it's certainly never dull, is it?
No, that's right. We seem to be having the same weather anyway, or close to it. But I thought I had an inkling you might be enjoying your summer there, but it doesn't seem so.
No.
Yeah, so I was
at
just...
least your excuse is it's your winter. I mean,
yeah, pretty much hit winter now here. So yeah, it does get colder than people could imagine here in Sydney, yeah. Anyway. You know, it's cold snaps and weird skies, as I was talking about before we came on, John. Weird skies and plenty of people coughing and things, but who knows. I'm jumping on here mostly nightly, weeknights, if I can get on, which is mostly, just, you know, like, cause we have our Telegram channel and a few others. There's quite a few emails and things coming through and stuff. And I try to, take a look at the most important things for each day, and I jump on for the Kraz members, and I just pour through that. Sometimes I just generally can't get through most of it. So there's been a lot. The main things is kind of what you brought up there with where it's going to go now. And also what we've been looking at are these meetings they've been having over there in Europe with the WHO and the pandemic accord or treaties, you know, that they're trying to get governments to agree to. I'd say it looks like we're already all signed on anyway. That has been very interesting because they just had their last kind of meeting just fairly recently, towards the end of last weekend or whenever it was, to try to push this pandemic treaty through and get it all signed up. But there just wasn't enough agreement within countries. So we've got a lot of good people here getting the word out, even senators and lots of people. It has really caused a big stir. And this pandemic treaty, John, is I've been following that kind of more than anything, and I've been following what the next fake flu pandemic, the disease X and everything is going to be, which looks like it's the bird flu thing. They're going to go with that, which is obviously looking like an attack on the food supply, which would be eggs, meat, chicken, all this milk, all of that. That's a very deep concern, and I've been following that because they're already locking down in Australia, in Melbourne and these places. They're locking down poultry facilities and things like that based on bullshit lies and bullshit testing like they did with COVID. So those are the two kind of things I've been trying to post about and study and come on and talk about a lot. Obviously, my eyes were a lot on the pandemic treaty over there in Geneva, these bunch of fuckwits who fly over in private jets and go and talk about our future and decide what we're all going to do. It was really unbelievable for me to see these so-called health ministers and people, you know, up there in Geneva, and they'll have the United States or Australia or the UK in front of them. And some bozo in a suit. And it's like, that's not that country. They don't represent us. We didn't vote for them. Like, they're not able to speak for us, but they are. And so they've been all over there jerking their chains with their lavish dinners and trying to push through this pandemic treaty, which is frightening, John, because it's not something that any of us want. We do not want to we don't want these spineless, coward politicians to basically go over there and sign our health freedoms, our futures, and our futures of our children, our sovereignty, really, over to some spook, you know, international globalist forces with no face on them, a completely made-up name. And so, you know, they can call pandemics and come in here and take over of our lives. It's not something any of us want. And so it has been an interesting look into that looking glass. I'm doing it the best I can, but it seems I looked at, I mean, they can't get an agreement on the whole thing. They're able to do a few things, but they couldn't seem to get an agreement on it. So they've pushed it off to 2025 from what I hear, and they're going to try and meet again. But apparently it's kind of failed, but they did push a few sort of things through. But looking at, you know, UK, the United States, Africa, everywhere, they're just not happy with the whole part of it, and they can't sort of come to the table. The only country that can come to the table is Australia. And because we have a spineless, pathetic, groveling moron called Mark Butler, who's decided that he's going to take up the authority to go over there and grovel to them and sign us all up to it when we never said that that was okay. So hopefully I can see now this guy's really going to cop it for what he said over there, that basically he wants to sign Australia up and he wants to get all this done, and we never okayed that. So, but outside of that, John, it's, I don't know if you've been... Well, I guess you have been, but it's a little bit of a confusing affair, that whole WHO thing. Even with what seems to be the incoming Donald Trump, Mr. Trump has said multiple times, and just recently I saw a video where they were saying that he is going to defund and pull the US out in, of that, that there will no be, there will not be any pandemic treaty agreement if he gets in again, and also they're going to defund them. They're going to pull out. US is the biggest global funder of the WHO, John. So, like him or not, I guess that would be an interesting thing to see if he lives up to his word and actually does that. But it seems they're stumbling a bit, John, based on the world getting and gathering more information. And people are spooked. And the longer it goes on, the more spooked we become. And they can't seem to come to an agreement. But I'm sure you'll agree, John, and it's all through your newest books and stuff, that this is a global power grab that we absolutely can't afford and do not want.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is what it's all about. It's about bypassing democracy, in effect.
Yes.
Because obviously the WHO and all these, you know, acronyms, WEF, you know, IMF, all these, they're all, you know, none of them are democratically elected bodies. They are just people who, like you say, have undergone this power grab. They've taken it upon themselves. And what the WHO are currently trying to do, with the collusion of every major government, you know, like you say, okay, Australia is the only one that's gone for it 100% at the moment. You know, but with the collusion of all major governments, they are trying to basically remove democracy, because what this pandemic treaty will do, for those listeners out there who are not aware, it will actually give complete power to the WHO, and the governments will not have the ability to resist their edicts. Whatever they say will go, because the governments are in the process, and it might be a long process, but this is what they're aiming towards, actually signing away their autonomy to this unelected communist, and it is a communist body. You know, and what if and when that does happen, we're in trouble, because they can decide our futures for us, and the governments will be powerless to do anything about it. But the thing about the governments is that they don't want to do anything about it anyway. I don't know. Maybe this is a little bit of you know, a pretense, a bit of showmanship on the part of the governments who are not agreeing to everything. Maybe that's just a bit of a show, so that we, the people, don't think that, oh, the governments have just capitulated. No, they're fighting against it in little ways, you know, but nevertheless, they're fighting against it. So, yeah, if it does go through, then basically we're all fucked. No, we're not. I mean, that's just a glib statement. We're not really. But it will be a very difficult road to come back from if that happens, unfortunately, because it will give absolutely unlimited power to the WHO to decree whatever it wants. It can decide that the world's going to be locked down. It can decide that, you know, international travel is banned. It can do anything it wants if this damn thing goes through. You know, and the stupid part about it is that there are no pandemics. You know, COVID was not a pandemic. COVID was a con. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but COVID was a con. But if this does go through, we can expect a lot more of these cons. You mentioned bird flu. You know, that's a good one. You know, there'll be Ebola, you know, Black Death, whatever they come up with. You know, it's just an absolute, you know, it's destroying democracy. That's what they want to do, because they don't want us to have a say in our futures. Not that we ever did, really, but at least there was the pretense of it. But yeah, that's what it's all about. It's about communism. It's about inflicting communism on the world, basically. That's my take on it anyway, mate.
Mm. Yeah. I do know that some amendments have been adopted, and they're not good amendments. According to some people, there's not really a lot to celebrate, but the whole body, yeah, as you said, I think it's only because there's so much attention on this and there's so many people over there on the ground exposing it now. And the politicians and the people who are supposedly representing countries are spineless, gutless, soulless grubs.
Well, they control. That's the thing. It's not,
they don't care.
It's not, I take your point. They are spineless, but they're put there because, you know, we all know, I think, that politicians are selected, not elected. These people are only put there because they were part of Klaus Schwab's Young Leaders Initiative. And, you know, they were thoroughly indoctrinated and coerced and bribed by the WHO to do its every bidding. So all the major leaders of all the major countries fall into that category. So it's, yes, they are spineless, but it's deeper than that, Adam. It's the fact that they're bought and paid for, they're controlled, they're owned by the WHO. So they're naturally going to do their bidding. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a pharmaceutical sort of hospital emergency industrial complex sort of part. This is from Rogaski, who put it up on the website. This is these amendments they want to seek. So it's all this kind of health. I mean, they've injected how many billions of people? Yep. God knows what's going to happen there. As you said, yeah, they can call anything that they want. Who knows what they can do or what technology, you know, they have or anything. So it's a very dodgy thing. I just think
mandatory vaccines, you know,
that's right.
Adam, but mandatory vaccines could bring that in at the drop of a hat.
They're forced,
you know, if they just decide that that's the way to go, you know,
I definitely know now that what we saw in Australia was a drill. I think that what we saw under dictator Daniel Andrews in Melbourne, who's now getting awards. They're giving him awards. They're giving these dictators awards, you see, because it's absolute. Yeah. He's got this award. I'll look it up in a sec for you, John, but it's, you know, the King's birthday and everything, and they're awarding these people because the Freemasons are awarding them because someone like dictator Daniel Andrews is so highly compromised, and so this is ritualistic, a ritualistic sort of thing on the public, mockery too, John, mockery. Okay, we're back on, John.
Okay.
Do you remember where you were?
No.
We're getting cut off.
No, I don't actually.
It's the the gremlins. Yeah. Well, we're talking about the WHO. I guess we'll just start wherever as we move forward, John. But anyway, you were mentioning that it's probably all a show over there to give the appearance to the general public that, you know, there are actually good guys in government and, you know, we're fighting for you and everything. And it's hard to say because we do, I think you guys do as well, and we definitely do. We have good senators. We have good people in our government still. There's not going to be a lot of them left soon because it's becoming...
I'm not sure we do, mate, to be honest. I think they're all a bunch of
It's becoming so totalitarian. They're, even in Australia now, they're actually kicking them out. So it was crazy. The other night, John, I was just sitting here late and the 1984 movie was on... you know, on TV. Yeah. I was watching it again, you know. I think it was like it's not the black and white one, the other one, the 80s one or whatever, but Room 101 and...
Yeah.
Just listening to it and I've read the book so much and watched the movies so much, but just watching it again, it's just... This is just where they're whittling it all down to. It's like a one way, a one government, a one think, you know. They're taking away in Australia. They're taking away everything, you know. Whistleblowers, you know, alternative media, they're threatening to crack down everything. And this is what's coming from the WHO as well. This is one of their main sort of things they're coming up with is hate speech online. Mm. I'm sure you're aware of it's happened in Scotland. It's happening right now in Ireland. They're about to introduce new laws in Ireland that could land you in prison for very basic things. They're drafting them up here. In fact, intelligence agencies and these spooks here in Australia, they're they're in the middle of drafting up new anti-Semitic hate speech laws, and like we need more of those, but they're actually going to strengthen them, and we got the worst here in the world, so it's just horrifying to even think of. And this is because of what's happening over there in the Gaza and the Palestinian you know, protest movements throughout the universities and this. You know, so they're saying that, you know, Jews need to be protected, and we need to protect them, and all of this. So they're drafting up new terrifying hate speech laws. Canada, the UK, everywhere's doing it. In the West, the Five Eyes nations, and this language I can see coming from the WHO as well. This is the one things, if they can't get what they want to get through now, then they want to get through the internet hate speech laws and censoring the online. I think where they're going, John, and what they've already started to do here is they're using minors. They're saying that minors are being harmed online by watching social media content and certain videos. So what they say that they're going to need to have a special ID to log into social media. And we can see that this is all part of what they're doing as well, that you will have a some kind of special number or ID as part of your digital ID to even log on to the internet and do anything. So it's digital ID stuff that has been passed in Australia as well. So they're inching incredibly close. The language that I can see while they're waiting to get their pandemic sort of accord through is censorship. Heavy censorship.
Extreme censorship, Adam. It's extreme censorship.
Extreme. Not
just regular censorship. Yeah.
It seems to be all written up by Jewish lobby groups to me. I mean, it all seems to be about protecting Jews and being anti-Semitic, and
it's protecting them from criticism. That's what it's all about, so they can get away with whatever they want to get away with.
Our Prime Minister just said, our Prime Minister in Australia, if that's what you want to call him, I don't, because he's not my Prime Minister. I never voted for these people, never will, not interested in them. They're all opposites. It's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah,
it's just a con game. He's sitting around a table with a bunch of rabbis, John. That's our Prime Minister.
I always say, don't vote because the government always gets in. That's my phrase of the month.
Our Prime Minister is having meetings in secret around a big table with rabbis. And you're like, well, what other country or race on planet Earth get this treatment? You know? And it's going to come down to where you can't even think anything about these people, because you're gonna be put under a guillotine or something. I mean, it's getting that extreme. Yeah. Never mind what they're doing in the Gaza, you know, and blowing the shit out of people. That's completely fine, but you can't say anything. So it's getting absolutely outrageous.
If that had been any other country, you know, doing that to a group of civilians. You know, its own civilians, in effect, then the US and the UK and Australia, they would have been in there. It would have been another Iraq, another Afghanistan. But because it's Israel, they can get away with murder, literally get away with murder. They can get away with genocide, and they do. Because, you know, oh, yes, they get censored. You know, the United Nations will issue a sanction against them. Big fucking deal, you know. Any other country would have been invaded by the mass ranks of the US and all the NATO allies, and that would have been it. They would have been obliterated. But no, Israel just gets away with anything, because obviously it's anti-Semitic to do anything like that.
That's right.
That's right.
And the whole way that it started too, where... the craziest thing is, John, is that Hamas is Israeli intelligence. They created it.
Absolutely.
It's just another boogeyman, just like Al Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. It's all US and Israeli, you know, British and whatever intel. But this whole Hamas attack on Israel that started all this, where they took these hostages. I don't really buy any of it, but that seemed to give them the go-ahead to cause mass bloodshed and to level Gaza, you know? I mean, I'm not on the ground there. It just looks horrific what they're doing. And it's bloodthirst, it's bloodlust. And they get away with whatever they want, but no one in the West is allowed to criticize them or say anything. You know, the police brutality against people, and I do notice, you know, I am on places like X and these places, John, that people are, even the Truther movement, are very heavily leaning towards supporting Israel. They say that Israel is our greatest ally in the Middle East and everything, but I don't know, you probably agree with me here, John. I think it's part of Greater Israel, and Kushner, I think it is, you know, who's married to Trump's daughter. He did an interview where he basically was talking about that Gaza land on the ocean and everything. Like, he was talking about rebuilding there and how much it's sort of worth. And what their plans may be. So obviously they've got big plans for that area. They've leveled it. They get rid of them. It's genocide. It's ethnic cleansing. And they're going to push all those refugees into the West, into our countries, and cleanse it out. And then they're obviously going to move in there, and they've got big plans to expand the greater Israel. And as you said, John, the world's not doing anything about it. All this stuff about putting out arrest warrants for Netanyahu, nothing ever happens. It's all rubbish. I called it ages ago. No one's going to arrest him. He does what he wants. And in fact, when Netanyahu, I think he's about to, or he's going to do a big speech in Congress. I mean, when he comes in and does a speech in Congress, anyone would sort of look and think that that's the president of the United States. I mean, really, that's how much they suck up to him and everything. So, the amount of money that's flooding in as well to them, the type of weapons they're able to use, and what they're doing over there. I mean, and the way the media try to normalize it. I mean, you've got this event with Hamas, which is Israeli intelligence and created, supposedly abducting people from a dance party. I mean, it's completely staged. And then you've just got absolute bloodbath, and they're trying to say that that's all level playing field now. And it's like, and you're a bad person if you question Israeli or, you know, Israeli military forces, what they're doing here. So obviously it's angering a lot of people, and there's a lot of problems around the world. But at the same time, everywhere, Israel again, definitely 100%, they're infiltrating these movements and protest movements all across the place, and sending people in that's causing chaos and everything like that, and mudding the waters. So it's giving the people who are protesting against what's happening in Palestine a bad name, and the police are being really brutal to them too, on campuses and everywhere, crushing them. And so I don't agree with a lot of what these people are doing, but they're probably paid shills to do it, to give the Palestinian people a bad name. But it's a real horror story anyway, John, what has gone on over there, and
it is
what we're going to see at the end of this,
Well, who knows? But I can imagine the outcome won't be very good, because the world is looking on and it's not prepared to do anything about it. Well, nothing really seriously, anyway. I mean, it might pay lip service to it, or make the odd sanction, like I said at the beginning of this little section, if this had been, say, Saudi Arabia doing this, or, well, maybe not Saudi Arabia, that's probably a bad example, but if it had been Iran or any one of our so-called enemies doing this, then the NATO troops would have been in there without a shadow of a doubt, and they would have obliterated them.
That's right. But
that's not happening, isn't it?
Obviously, you've looked yourself, John, into the Mossad and Israeli intelligence and the creation of these Hamas, and it's very, very obvious. It's even been openly admitted on TV shows and stuff, and in the US itself, I mean, anyone with half a mind can see that Hamas is an Israeli operation and Israeli controlled. So really they attacked themselves as a psyop, and then that gave them the excuse to go in and level Gaza. They've been wanting to do it for a long time, that real genocide thing, to really get rid of them. I think it's been building for a long time, but they just needed that event to happen. And of course they did it, but they did it to themselves. That's what the people out there just don't understand. It was a completely staged
false flag.
False flag.
Totally false flag. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you a little bit about an experience I've had earlier this year, last 2 or 3 months. I was due to do a talk in a town in the southwest called Stroud in the county of Gloucestershire. And I was actually doing a talk on the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Okay, and which I'm sure most people are familiar with. This talk was advertised, and then all of a sudden, before we knew it, there was a protest group, obviously led by a Jewish guy, a very extreme Jewish guy, as far as I can gather, and he targeted, not me specifically at that point in time, but he targeted the group that were organising the talk, and they lost their venue through it. They weren't allowed to, have any speakers there anymore. You know, that was completely taken away from them. The word went round and nobody else will have them now because they're all anti-Semites. John Hayne is an anti-Semite, and apparently a couple of weeks ago, at the weekend, there was a massive demonstration in Stroud about me, not just about me, but about one or two other people as well, calling me, attaching all sorts of labels to me, which is obviously their methodologies. And also, we have a truth newspaper in the UK called The Light. And they were heavily targeted by these absolute morons as well. You know, they're just ignorant, bullies, basically. So they stopped me talking there. They're no doubt they're stopping other people talking there. This poor group, this truth group, now have nowhere to hold their meetings because nobody will have them. All because of this one guy and his sycophantic hangers-on. So, they'd obviously been all over my website. They'd taken lots of things out of context. There were all these quotations from my work, which made me appear as though I'm a Jew hater. So this is what they do. This is how they work.
Mm.
And of course, they take the high moral ground as well. So no matter what you say, you're losing anyway. So there's no comeback on that. Saying I'm only telling the truth. And they refer to this was quite amusing. They referred to the protocols as being an anti-Semitic lie. Right, that's how they refer to the protocols. When it was proven in the High Court years and years ago.
Oh, it's etched in stone.
Real. Yeah, yeah. So that was just one tiny example of it. But obviously, the Israel thing is on a much, much wider scale. But that just shows the power and influence that these people have, and the self righteousness of them, and the way that they conduct themselves. And anybody who doesn't agree with them is they try to destroy them.
Yeah, of course. It's always been like that. Mm. One way to get completely hammered online is to question the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And I've done my research, and from what I can see, it never happened. But this anti-Semite thing, it's that label. Yeah, and that's why they're doing it now in Australia. They're strengthening the laws, so you for something like what you're explaining there, you could actually go to jail. That's how bad it's going to get. Like if you go to do a talk somewhere and that's what these people, they come in and they stalk you. They could be students. They act as anything. And they can come in and once they stir up a storm. But this is the whole thing that's happening in our countries, and now happening in Ireland, as I said, and these countries, and going to happen in Australia worst, I think.
Yeah.
It only takes one complaint against your book or one of your talks, John, or a website or what you said, and you could land yourself in prison now. That's how extreme it's getting.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's happened to many people. I mean, it's happened to many people in the past, you know, David Irving, Ernst Zundel. That was a classic case, Ernst Zundel. I mean, the poor guy, he was extradited from Canada to Germany, where the very strong, you know, Holocaust denial laws. And he was put on trial in Germany and he was jailed because he just questioned the Holocaust. You know, how long has it been a crime to question something? You know, it wasn't even saying it never happened. Well, they might have done, but you know, people who've just questioned it as to the truth, the veracity of it, have been jailed. And the thing about Ernst Zundel's trial was that not only was he jailed, but his lawyer was jailed as well for attempting to defend him. Hmm. I mean, how does that work? In other words, they're saying, well, no, you're not allowed to have a defense on it. He's bloody jailed the lawyer for defending him. I mean, yeah, that's just. That's just good. That's madness. It just shows you that the law is just totally corrupt.
Totally.
How can you not be allowed a defence lawyer?
Yeah, it's insane, isn't it?
I was years and years ago, must be 15 years ago, I was driving along. I can't remember where I was going or anything, but I was driving along and I was listening to the radio, and it was somebody was interviewing this Israeli, I think she was a woman, I think she was the foreign minister at the time, I can't remember her name or anything like that, and they asked her about anti-Semitism, and she just absolutely bold as brass said, oh yeah, anti-Semitism, it's a trick, we always use it, it deflects criticism. So the Israeli minister actually came out and said that on national radio. They're just brazen. You know, they don't care who knows it. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's just some I have here. This one's just from The Guardian. Anti-Semitic chants can be treated as hate crimes now under tough new laws in Australia. And this was because of what they say pro-Palestinian protests in Sydney, at the Sydney Opera House area, I think. They were chanting things against Jews. Mm. And the media were there to film, and they had it all drawn up and everything, and they call this anti-Semitic chants heard from these pro-Palestinian protests in Sydney. They're now going to be treated. They had the laws all drafted up. That's what people don't understand. And how do we know that they were actual real protesters who were chanting that and saying, well, they were swearing and saying all this stuff against Jews, right?
They're probably Jews
doing it. As you said, they come in, the media are there, they're all buddies, they know, it's all interconnected, the media are right there on the moment to film, and then they swear and say all these death threats and everything, and then the government immediately sign on to these laws that they already drafted up that were ready to go. So we now have these new racial vilification hate crime laws on top of the worst laws that we already probably have anywhere in the world, an Anti-Discrimination Act, and they're tying this, John, now into the criminal code. So they're saying that this now makes it easier to be prosecuted, and it's increasing the maximum penalty that you will get. So, this could be public displays, distribution, publishing of hate symbols, even menacing, harassing, or offending, it will all attract maximum penalties of imprisonment. Just because of this thing that happened at the Opera House that none of us had anything to do with, and we don't know who they were or what happened.
No.
There's nothing there, you know.
Just imagine if the tables were turned, Adam, and that was a pro-Israeli group abusing Palestinians and the Palestinian people. Would that have happened? Would anything have happened to them? No. Well, they might have been dispersed by the police.
What if it was Islamic groups or whatever chanting against white people, you know, and saying, you know, they want to kill white people or making threats against white people, would we get these kinds of laws from our government to protect us? No. wouldn't even be mentioned. It would be completely ignored and you wouldn't get this. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, we have these. And this one's in Queensland. And here again, the president of the Queensland Jewish Board of Deputies, Jason Steinberg. He's talking about how he's welcoming these new hate crime legislations in our countries.
But it is, yeah.
Yeah, so there are all these Jewish kind of powerful lobby groups and, you know, shadows behind the government and people with a lot of money and influence and power who are coming up with these terrible draconian laws that is just strangling us all.
Don't get me wrong. I don't agree with the views of anybody, you know, but you know, to make it a crime, it's a thought crime, isn't it? When you think about it, it is a thought crime. You're not actually hurting anybody. You're just using words. It's not, you know, it's like the old adage, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
That's right.
And that's very true. You know, why has it suddenly become, you know, people need to ask themselves this question, why has it suddenly become against the law to express an opinion? That opinion may be abhorrent, but why is it against the law to express an opinion about somebody or something or a group? It should not. I mean, free speech is dead. We know this.
Gone.
But obviously, you know, this is just—it's just extreme.
Isn't something like the Holocaust though, John? It's an historic event. I mean, look what happened to Germany near the end of World War II. What was done? Anyone wants to read Thomas Goodrich's book Hellstorm? I mean, you'll be horrified what they did to Nazi Germany there.
Well, and Dresden, actually, the video and these places. Is on BitChute. Had the Hellstorm video is on BitChute. I mean, it's just absolutely harrowing, horrific.
Yes, our friend Kyle Hunt made that film, and I've spoken to them and also spoken to Tom Goodrich a lot. They've sent me the book. I've got the updated version of Hellstorm, and I tell you, man, that is a book. It just churns your stomach. You just can't believe it. That was done to human beings. It is. That is the real Holocaust.
Do we ever hear about that?
Huh?
The Holocaust is and Nazi this and Nazi that is drummed into our psyches from cradle to grave, isn't it? They're still harping on about this almost 100 years later. Well, over 80 years later.
Yeah.
They're still talking about it. You see, you go on TV. I mean, I don't watch TV much, but if I just happen to go on the TV and look down the program listing, every single day, there's going to be, over the course of the day, there's going to be at least two or three documentaries about the Nazis this and the Nazis that, you know, and Hitler this and Hitler that. It's just drummed into our psyches. But do you ever hear about the Rhine-Meadows killing fields in 1945-46? No.
Mm-mm.
I bet you if you went into a pub or anywhere and said, has anybody ever heard of the Rhine-Meadows killing fields? I bet not one in 100 would actually know that, you know. And there were like 4 million people killed there for no reason other than the fact that they were German.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, same happened in Japan as well.
Yeah.
And what's happened all throughout history is what I'm relaying, John. Anyway, there's been this going on throughout history. I mean, look at World War I and II. I mean, these are historical events that people and authors and researchers pour through. And I've watched many incredible long. I've looked. It's very deep, but I've looked into some really good stuff, looking at Germany and the Holocaust and the places where all this went on and where Jews were gassed and everything. And the evidence just isn't there. It's just not there. And this is just people researching it and looking into it. And that should be free for the public to take a look at, you know?
Yeah.
But
it's the only event in history. You can go to jail for questioning. It's illegal to question.
Why is that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if something's the truth, You don't need to come up with a law to protect it. You know, somebody once said, you know, the truth is like a lion. Set it free and it'll defend itself. You don't need laws to do that.
Yeah. But at the same time, they drum it to the point where they've got museums and they want to make it part of the school curriculums.
Well, I think in the US, there's something called Holocaust Memorial Month, you know, where everybody, you know, everything is all about the Holocaust and, you know. Somebody once said, I'm trying to remember, I know it was a guy called Edgar Steele, who was murdered for his views in the States in the early part of this century. And I used to follow his work in my early days of truth seeking. And Edgar Steele was jailed on a trumped up charge and murdered in jail. But what Edgar Steele said was, before the war, the Red Cross did a survey of the Jewish population and found that in Germany and the countries surrounding Germany, there were 4 million Jews. Right? After the war, the Red Cross did another census of Jewish population, and the population had increased by 500,000. So there were 4.5 million. And then Edgar Steele added his final bit of that was, sadly, the other 6 million were lost.
Yeah.
So in other words, the population of Jews increased during World War II. So where did the 6 million come from?
That's right.
Yeah.
And quickly before we finish, and we'll look at the avian influenza, but yeah, you look at what really went on there in those German camps, it's completely different. It's completely different. There seem to be, I've seen some incredible documentaries on it where they had sports and swimming pools and things for them to do and stuff. It wasn't what we were told at all. But there's just no evidence of that amount, 6 million were, there's just no facilities, there's no evidence anywhere in any of it that they could have got rid of that amount of people anyway. It seems to me that at that time, that just never happened, and people were sort of more taken care of. So a lot of looking into some of these specific camps in Germany, the evidence just simply isn't there to warrant that amount of extermination of human beings. And the facilities aren't there. There's nothing. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, people did die in the camps, don't
they? Of course.
Of course they did, but not to that extent, and not necessarily from murder. I'm sure the Nazis executed a few people for various misdemeanors. They were caught. Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. In Auschwitz itself, there was a court
Auschwitz.
For trying prisoners that had, tried to escape or whatever. And, why would they bother with courts if they were just indiscriminately murdering millions of people? But what I was going to say was, the Red Cross figures, this was before the Red Cross was a totally captured and controlled organisation that it is today. The Red Cross figures after the war said 272,000 people died in the camps, of which approximately half were Jews.
There you go.
Yeah. And that's straight from the mouth of the Red Cross. But, of course, they've denied it since. They denied that they ever said it, but it's in old documents.
Yeah.
So you can't dispute it.
Very interesting. And when you look at the creation of Israel and the, by the big bankers and how that was done, and the sympathy card, and sort of done in a way to protect these people throughout history. Yeah. So, they could get away with whatever they want, do whatever they want, like they're doing now. And they can go in and slaughter millions of people. And if anyone says, hey, you can't do that, you're anti-Semitic. The Holocaust, put him in jail, the door locks down on you.
The story of how Israel came about is quite interesting. I'll just give the listeners a very brief thumbnail sketch of it. What happened was during World War One. Germany was winning the war. You know, without a doubt, it was winning the war. Britain and, you know, the Allies were losing badly. So in desperation, the British government turned to the Jewish leadership, and the Jewish leadership agreed that they would contact their American counterparts, you know, the powerful Jewish lobby in the States, and they would do everything they possibly could to drag America into the war on the side of the Allies, or the Allies, as I like to call them. And, yeah, that's what happened. So in return for that, all the Jews asked for was Palestine as a homeland. And out of that came something called the Balfour Declaration, which was the British government. It's just a very brief letter. And it states in that letter that after, at some point in time in the future, if the Jews kind of, you know, encourage America to join the war, which they did, then they would be given Palestine as a homeland. Now, it wasn't in Britain's mandate to do that, because Britain didn't own Palestine. It, you know, it was owned by Turkey at the time, or the Ottoman Republic, as it was known then, and the Ottoman Empire, sorry, as it was known then. So Britain had no right to do that. And I often use this quote. I always say it's a bit like Britain promising Palestine to the Jews was a bit like India promising Wales to China. You know, they had no right to do it. And that's how it came about. So, and of course, another catalyst for that was the Holocaust, you know, raising massive amounts of sympathy for the Jewish people so they can get a homeland. I mean, I don't have any problems with Jewish people having a homeland, but I have a problem with the methodology that was used to do it. You know,
the Rothschilds and the big banking families into this creation as well.
Oh yeah, the Rothschilds were behind, you know, well behind it all as well. You know, they were all into it. They were all very influential in all that. Victor Rothschild specifically, who, by the way, was a Soviet spy during World War II, even though he was a Brit.
This comes in at a similar time of the Federal Reserve, doesn't it, John?
Well, the Federal Reserve was just before World War One. The Federal Reserve was the Federal Reserve Bill was passed in on December 23rd, 1913, when something like 75% of Congress had gone home for the Christmas holidays. So it kind of went through on the nod. And that was only after the three of the main opponents of the Federal Reserve System had been murdered on the Titanic. You know, so it's all connected. Everything is all connected.
Yes, the Titanic. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely connected. That's right.
Yeah. Everything. Nothing happens by chance, you know?
Yeah. Very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
We will continue sort of bringing these little bits and pieces together in closing the podcast. For our chat, John, just looking at the bird flu.
Yeah,
this is. I'm just looking at the very latest breaking Australian news. They're shutting down factories. They are warning about imposing limits on the amount of eggs you can buy. Australia is locking down farms as the influenza spreads. Eggs, meat, milk. Can the bird flu be caught through eating chicken and eggs? I saw these people up there representing the WHO, and that's talking. I'm not kidding, John. They were talking about ducks and things infecting cows. And then when the farmer milks the cow and he milks and the milk goes into the, you know, or they milk it, or they have those facilities that it becomes airborne. As well, this is where they're going with this It's not even nonsense, but here we are. These are just the latest headlines in Australia. So, and then also, this one, I just took off social media. Tonight it was a new headline, top stories, COVID with wings. Backyard chicken coops could bring down the entire farming industry.
Experts. You've got to admit they're very persistent, aren't they? They don't give up, do they? I mean, you know, it's just like COVID Mark II, isn't it? You know, this is what they're trying to bring in.
It's kind of like the disease X they were talking about, and well, they're saying here the experts are back. No links. We don't know who they are, but they're saying that people who have chickens or whatever in their backyards could bring down the whole industry. So this is an attack on people having chooks and things at home and growing vegetables and things like that. I've been talking about this for years, and actually ages ago on my Nightwatch podcast, I was saying you watch the next COVID thing because I put up one from State of the Nation, John, on the website, and they're saying that the perpetrators of COVID-19 pandemic know that it's impossible to pull off another fake pandemic, as people just around the world, they won't buy it. They're not going to do it again. Probably some will, but in general, they're not going to buy this. So, you know, this new thing is to manufacture maybe a worldwide famine by 2025 to starve out humanity. So the powers that be, what they do. But they say to hear that they've already killed 92 million chickens for absolutely no reason. And what they're doing is they're coming in. They're doing it here, John, and now they're doing it in New Zealand. It's really disgusting. These people just come onto people's properties and they're burning their bees. They're coming into chicken places that sell eggs or whatever the public. They're doing a bogus test and then they're taking down the whole thing and they're locking it down. So people are sort of saying, oh, they're not going to lock us down. And I say, well, they're already kind of doing it, but it's food related. And now that's what they're going after. Yeah. They're going after our food. And this is for mass starvation. And this is ultimately for their fake meat, Bill Gates's fake meat and all of this kind of stuff. Yeah. It looks like they're going to go ahead with this bird flu, John.
Yeah. Well, I think what people need to understand is that it is all total and
utter nonsense.
Bollocks. There is no bird flu.
No.
There is no flu. There is no human flu. What, you know, if you, like me, you believe in terrain theory rather than germ theory, the only way that they're out to perpetrate this crap is because they've created something called germ theory, which is the biggest load of nonsense, you know, you can imagine. And that's up against some pretty stiff competition for that particular accolade. But germ theory is not real. Okay, the real cause of disease is something called terrain theory. I know you're aware of it, Adam, because I know you've spoken to Shannon about it, and she's big into that. But you know, under terrain theory, none of these pandemics could exist at all. Let me just explain very briefly before we go what I mean by terrain theory. Terrain theory is a theory of disease that says it's not caused by microbes. Okay, it's caused by poisons in the atmosphere, and those poisons can be chemical, they can be electrical. Yet flu didn't exist at all anywhere in the world until the very late 19th century. And the reason that flu exists is because it began with electricity, okay? Electricity, our bodies are electrical. They react to electrical interference, okay? And with the proliferation of electrical devices, that is when flu first became an issue, okay? So every generation of new communications, you know, 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G, there's been a massive outbreak of disease caused specifically by that, because your body doesn't like being attacked. And these electrical pulses interfere with our body's operation. And what your body is doing is producing mucus. It's shutting your body down to try and fight these poisons. It's nothing to do with any viruses. Viruses don't exist. Bacteria exist, but bacteria are good. Okay, bacteria help you digest your food. They are part of your body's biosystem. Okay, so again, they vilify bacteria and say bacteria cause disease. It doesn't. Disease is caused by toxins. Mm. And what happens is toxins enter your body and your body fights it off. And that's why we get things like flu. That's why we get, you know, these feelings of really unwellness. It's because your body is fighting, not an infection, but it's fighting toxin and it's expelling toxins from your body. And this comes out in the mucus and all the rest of it, the horrible stuff that you get when you've got a cold or flu. So, yeah, in a very brief nutshell, I just wanted to say that. Anybody who doesn't believe me, I would suggest you do some research on it. Research terrain theory versus germ theory. The guy who formulated germ theory was a guy called Louis Pasteur, a French scientist in the mid-19th century. And he had a rival called Antoine Béchamp, another Frenchman, who promoted terrain theory. And they had this ongoing, shall we say, argument, discussion. And at the end of his life, Pasteur on his deathbed said Béchamp was right. Terrain theory is correct. And this was Louis Pasteur, the father of germ theory. So, yeah, sorry for the ramble, but, you know, that just kind of puts it all in a little nutshell for anybody who's wondering.
Right.
So all this bird flu stuff, it's lies. It's all lies. There is no bird flu.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life, John.
What I just said?
I've never heard anything so ridiculous.
What I just said?
No, about the bird flu.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy, just, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. Who would believe? It's so stupid.
Yeah. Aye. So, anyway.
Yeah.
And that's my 2 pence.
Yeah. No, of course we've been. I remember when the COVID-19 scamdemic started, when they were saying that it was coming from China and it was starting to spread. Gee, I think, you know, we're one of the only true, real independent media podcasts here. I had John Rappaport on a bunch of times. We were calling it a scam from day one. And even when a lot of the truthers got sucked into the bioweapon thing, that something had been made in laboratories by Dr. Fauci, and people couldn't wrap their heads around that there's nothing there. There's nothing there. And this is the thing we've been talking about for a long time now on this podcast, John, that, you know, a lot of this stuff that's happening with the courts, and there's a lot of great stuff happening, and I think a lot of people are going to pay for what they did. It's going to be interesting moving forward to see how all this unravels, but they definitely won't try that again. Well, maybe, you know, something different, but... It's been really interesting because with everything that we're seeing and all the court cases and everything, it still ties around that there was COVID-19. That's the thing. And I always say, God, imagine if most of the planet could understand there wasn't actually any virus. You know, because if you feel like you were injected or ripped off, or you had your business shut down, or a million and one other things, and you go in and you win some cases and you join up forces and you want to make these people pay and everything. But if you still in any way, shape or form believe that there was some form of COVID-19, it plays you into the game. You know, it's not until you can completely take that off the table and understand that there was never any virus. It was a bluff.
Yeah.
It's a card trick. We were scammed. There was nothing there. That's why all of us reacted differently and went through the way that we did. Because when you understand that there's no virus and you see people wearing masks and or they sort of say, oh, well, you got to wear a mask anyway, just do it, you know. I never did. I never did anything John. I never, ever did one single fucking thing of any of it, and I absolutely refused, and I still do. But a lot of people, even in the truth movement, and even on the big truther websites, they still push that line that there could be something there, that there was indeed something there when there was nothing there. Viruses don't exist.
Exactly. Viruses don't exist.
Nothing there.
So, you know, And the whole, I'll just say this as well, Adam, the whole of the medical, today's medical paradigm is predicated on germ theory. Without germ theory, trust me, the big pharma companies would not exist because they'd have nothing to fight, you know. Well, they might exist, but they'd certainly, they would exist in a more benevolent way. And, you know, they wouldn't be, you know, producing vaccines for a start, because vaccines wouldn't be, have any effect on anything, which they don't anyway, by the way. And, the certain medications might be called for. You know, the massive profitability of pharma companies would not be there. So that is why that they promote this germ theory nonsense very, very heavily, because it's a money spinner. It makes billions and billions, well, probably trillions a year worldwide.
It really is the card that you could pull out to make the whole thing tumble in it. I mean, yeah, once that virology card gets pulled out of the pack, John, of that card house, yeah, as you said, there's not a leg to stand on. It's all built around a lie. And that is, it's all really built around fear. Because you can catch and you can spread things. It's fear-based, mind control. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. And that's what makes people comply. And that's what makes them take drugs and get vaccines and wear masks and fall into line and lockdown and do all these things, because they think that they can catch something off someone else and spread it to others and die.
Yeah. Yeah.
When there actually isn't anything there, and you cannot. Yeah. Contagion is rubbish. It's never been shown to be real in human history. Yeah. They cannot prove contagion. So we know all this, but it is I absolutely, we've been talking about that so much. We talk about it with Dawn Lester a lot as well. The entire medical industry itself is pretty much built on that virology, you know, on that lie.
On lies, basically.
Oh, on lies. Lies, yeah, but that, it's not everything or the be all and end all, but as you said, it is a massive card. If that comes out, it really changes the whole game of the whole medical system, because suddenly you're left there thinking, well, what do we need it for? you know, and that's why they're so desperate to maintain and protect it and prop it up. You know, it's a whole nother podcast, John, as to how people acted and what they did and everything, and how scared they were. We always discuss it, but it is a con. It's a con, and it's all fear. Everything they do is through fear, and that's what we always want to tell people. You have to push through the fear. You have to peel it away like the layers of an onion. You've got to get rid of it. You've got to unshackle the fear and be your true self again. And you just have to look at it. Look at it in the clear light of day. There is no virus. There's nothing there. The way they got people to act is unbelievable, John, based on an absolute lie that you would go and allow that stuff to be punched into your body. And that you would wear a mask and you would lock down and you would do all these things and you would do Simple Simon Says based on nothing. Based on nothing. Yeah. What they can conjure up in people's minds through a TV set is phenomenal. It really is an incredible state of affairs. But, you know, and they're still doing it, John, but I think, where do they go? I mean, I guess they could... this is a bit of a concern anyway, John, with the food thing. These agricultural people, like these Department of Agriculture and these people, these agencies, how they can just come in and do these bogus testing and shut farmers down and stuff, I think it's just a non-compliance thing. I think humanity has to band together and say, we're not going to comply. If we can push through this and push back here and... I don't think they have anywhere else to go, John, after this.
Yeah,
I think they've done their COVID thing. They're trying to go after the food supply with this ridiculous chicken flu hoax thing.
Yeah.
If this falls or stumbles, what else is there to do? There's nothing left for these people. It's all built on bullshit, and people are starting to see it in massive numbers. So I guess we just keep moving forward, stay positive, keep researching, and just keep getting information out, and don't fall for their fear.
No, Absolutely. You know, that's a really good point, and that's how, you know, I think we should leave it there now, because, you know, my parting shot and on these occasions is always the same, and that is, don't be fearful. That's how they get you, through fear. Wake up every morning, think how good it is to be alive. You know, what a, you know, look at your own circumstances, count your blessings and all those cliches, but don't let the bastards grind you down. You know, this is, you know, this is my recipe for living, if you like. Every morning I wake up, and I'm, you know, at my age, I'm glad I've got another day. And you know, but you got to look at it like that. So many people say to me, Adam, you know, oh, John, what are we going to do about it? Oh, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. I said, look, just get on with your lives. Forget it all. Well, don't forget it all, but just put it in the back, on a back burner. You know, be aware of it, but don't let it destroy your life. Just get on with your lives. Enjoy your families. Enjoy your friends. You know, go out for meals. Do things that you want to do. Enjoy your children. But just don't let these people get to you, because that's what they want. So yeah, that's my parting shot.
That's what I always talk about, John. Awareness is the key. Be aware. Keep
Absolutely.
your eye on the game. We're here to learn and understand, gather the information, and but never stop living your life, and don't let that fear get to you. You know,
Exactly.
just be yourself and continue forward. You know, it's the best that we can do. So, great chatting tonight, John, or today with you.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah.
How is the new book going that you're writing? Your last one was Welcome to the Masquerade, Prelude to
Yeah.
the Coming Reset. I'll put all the information up with the podcast accompanying it, so people can click on everything and find out how to get them. Obviously, they're going really, really well. The Welcome to the Masquerade was the last one, right? But you are kind of slowly working on a new one.
Yeah, kind of. It's got actually gone on a back burner now, Adam. The reason being that I've started a different project, another collaborative project, but not with Shannon this time, with another guy. And we're working on a very, it's just a brief interlude. It's going to be a very quick thing. But we're working on a short novel. And I'm working on a short novel about flat Earth. We're creating, it's not my idea, but I've kind of, you know, come in on the back of it. It's going to be a novel that opens people's eyes to the possibility of flat Earth, or to at least the possibility of something beyond Antarctica. Whether it's flat or not, I don't know. It's still a moot point, but and I think this is probably going to be the way to go for me in future. I'm going to produce a lot of shorter works, which kind of try to open people's eyes in a kind of a fictional way, if you like, but nevertheless provide food for thought within that fiction, if you understand. And so yeah, that's going to be my next project, and that's going to happen very quickly. That's probably going to be published in the next 3 months, 3 to 4 months, I would estimate.
All right, sorry there, folks. We have had some pretty chronic connection issues tonight doing the podcast, but we were pretty much about to wrap it up anyway with author and researcher John Hamer. It's always good to have John on the podcast with me, so I hope you guys out there enjoyed the podcast. As I said, please get over to crazfiles.com, CRAZZ. That's my website. I run it alone. And if you hear the podcast out there on the feeds, wherever you get them, try to go back to the website, because I do put all of John's information up there attached as well. You can get signed copies of the book if you would like, you know, sent to you, and you can find out lots of information and contact John directly. And If you would like to check anything or ask him anything, he's really open and wonderful guy. So John should be on in another month as we continue our conversations. And always good to chat with real people like John Hamer. So I much enjoyed the podcast tonight. It is a little bit difficult to have these kinds of complications and it always hanging up on us. I've got like four or five different files tonight I've got to put together just because it kept hanging up. But we got through it and got a good podcast out there. So please enjoy. Get over on krazfiles.com and check out all the latest. And please think about becoming a member. It's the best way to support here. I think it works out to be $2 Australian for membership a week, maybe $1.30 or $40 or something US. A cup of coffee really a week thrown my way really helps me to keep that website, that big website, up and rolling. I had to do some more work recently, and that all costs plus hosting and everything. So having some members is a great way, and signing up for a membership a year is a good way to do it, or you could just do it monthly. You can cancel any time, whatever you like. You're in control. It's over at Buy Me a Coffee platform, and that enables me to host all the podcasts that I do for the Kraz Files members over there, because I can't do it on the website. So it's a much gives me a lot more space over there to do it. So if you would like to know more, go on to krazfiles.com, hit one of the banners there for the membership. It'll take you over to Buy Me a Coffee and just have a look there. And if you want to sign up, let us know and say hi. Always great to have new members on board. Even jump on for a year. It's great. I'm always podcasting over there, and we're always having great discussions for the Kraz Files members. If not, you can donate through PayPal on the website here and there if you would like to. And also you can buy us a coffee here. There's $5 Australian a month if you want to just buy a coffee each month to help me continue here on the ground. I do it completely alone, so it does help. And most importantly, get on the website and share the information and comment away and to the articles. And we're on social media as well. We're over on Telegram under the Kraz Files chat if you're over there. Also on X, you'll see the Kraz Files if you follow it there. And also over on BitChute and Brighteon and also Gab, mostly. But I would say X and for the moment, and also Telegram are the main kind of channels, especially Telegram in the chat. There's a lot of great info if you want to jump on there and have a look. And you can also leave any latest news links on the Kraz Files website. There's sort of a chat box on the side, so you can just log in there whenever you want. Use anything. It doesn't, whatever name. Just grab a name if you want to. Grab a number there and just leave news links. If you feel like it's important, make sure you put a description in there as well. It's all about getting information out, but we are under pretty heavy attack in real independent media, and it is not easy. It is not free to keep websites up, and it is it's hard work just to get John on and do all this and put it all up. So membership is a really good way to help keep that website up and running. It's funded by members. Without members, I can't do any more, and I can't keep the website going. So just a small handful of members are helping me to do all this. It's really wonderful. I thank those guys so much. Can't do it without them. And so please take care. We'll be back again for more Kraz Files podcasts. Great to be going since 2015 and having our chats. And we'll talk again soon. Thanks so much for listening. And thanks to John Hamer for all his great work, his research, his books. It's absolutely wonderful to have him on a podcast like this to share his great knowledge. So a big shout out to John. And we'll be back again soon, folks. So please take care.